Yesterday morning, I had the great opportunity to go to our state capitol and join others in prayer. And there was no political agenda. There was nothing on our minds except praying for our country and doing works of penance on behalf of our personal sins and the sins of our country, our state, and our whole world. And it was a really, really inspiring event. When I was there at 10 o'clock, I had some parishioners from St. Jude's join me, and I led prayer. And the crowd was maybe about the size of our congregation today. And there was a great camaraderie among us. Even though we certainly had our differences, we didn't get into those yesterday. We just remembered that we're together here, and we're here to pray, and we're here to repent. Those were our two main goals. And when it came time for me to pray for the group, I actually invited the crowd to kneel if they were comfortable doing that. And everyone got on their knees there in front of the state capitol, and I read one of the seven penitential psalms, Psalm 22. These seven penitential psalms are part of our tradition. They're part of our understanding of penance and asking for forgiveness, knowing the contrition of our own hearts. And the church reads these psalms regularly in recognition of our failures. And it was a beautiful sight to look out upon the crowd on their knees, praying and begging the Lord's mercy. I think that's where we're at our best as a church, when we're on our knees, joined together in recognition that none of us has done it right. I looked out on the crowd. There were tax collectors in that crowd. There were sinners. But we all knew in our heart of hearts that we were on the same page. Our sinfulness is actually a great equalizer for us. It levels the playing field. And when we look side to side, maybe even in the pews this morning, or when we're in a group of believers, we realize I'm not alone in my sinfulness and in my need for mercy. It's a great place to rest in the knowledge that I need a Savior, that I need someone to have mercy on me. And St. Paul really leans into this today in his letter to the Philippians. He's preaching to this group, inviting them to have the same mind, to have the same heart. He says, complete my joy with being of that same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. He's reminding this community in Philippi that they have more in common than they have different. And he's encouraging them to lean in to that commonality. Then he goes forward and he gives them instructions of how to resist the temptation to break from that unity. He says, do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves. It's taking that position of humility that we look side to side, we look at those in our community, and we actually put them ahead of ourselves, St. Paul says. Each looking out not only for his own interests, but also for those of others. This is the great path, he says, that we can take to have that same mind, to have that same heart, thinking one thing. The community in Philippi, they were actually a very, very unique community as well. And his words, I presume, would have struck a chord with them. See, this community was a group of retired military veterans. And the language that Paul uses in this passage that we have today is that we ought to be side by side, having the same mind, having the same heart, being in the same love, thinking one thing. He uses this imagery that connotes a side-by-sideness. And for Roman military veterans, that would probably remind them of the moments they had together in battle. They received from the Greeks this military formation called the phalanx. You've probably seen it in movies where the soldiers have a shield, but it's actually bigger than them. It covers their own bodies, but it covers part of the body next to them. And they'd get in this formation called the phalanx, and a square, and they'd hold those shields, and as long as they were side by side, thinking not only of themselves, but of the other, they were protected. They were safe. They had an impenetrable defense through the stacking of their shields. But if one of them stepped out, if one of them got ambitious out of vainglory or selfishness, or if one of them out of fear just fled the formation, then the whole community, that whole military unit was vulnerable. And I think St. Paul would give them this image as a reminder to cover for one another, to be of that same mind, to be of that same heart. And then he points to Jesus in an example of how we do this. He says, Jesus didn't grasp. Jesus didn't step out in vainglory or selfishness. Rather, Jesus emptied himself. Jesus humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's the formation that we're called to take as a Christian body. Not a phalanx with our shields, but a cross. And if my life is being conformed to the cross of Jesus, and the brother or sister next to me, their life is being conformed to the cross of Jesus, then we take on that mind and that heart of Christ, and it actually protects us. It shows us the unity that we have in his body. This is the Lord's way for us. It's a way of surrender. It's a way of humility. It's a way of obedience. But it's actually the way that I find life, in lowering myself, in thinking of those to my side, and thinking more importantly than them, of them. This is that formation that Paul and Christ invite us to take. Because brothers and sisters, we have the same enemy. Just like those Roman legions who were fighting against a common enemy and they were united against him, we have a same enemy. Yet Paul reminds the Ephesians that enemy, that struggle, is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. This is our enemy. And we ought to remember this as a Christian body, as a community, that we're better together. Just like that gathering yesterday at the state capitol, when we were unified in prayer and repentance, we were actually stronger. We were a sign of unity, a sign of love. And so I encourage you, as I encourage this parish, that we would remember we have more in common than we have different, that we continue to strive to form our lives in the shape of that cross, the shape of humility, the shape of obedience. Because when I think more about my brother, about my sister, then we're stronger as a unit. So we gather today around the table that the Lord sets for us. We receive this family meal. We reenact the sacrifice of the cross today and conform our lives to that sacrifice, asking Jesus to strengthen our church.